there's a huge battle in Revelation. There's a huge battle when Satan's cast out. He doesn't go easy. It's not just like, yes, we'd like to make a suggestion. It's time for you to step down. No, he's cast out. There's a giant war up there that's unseen and probably unheard. But again, there's so many things going on in the celestial realm that we can't see on Earth that affect the Earth all the time, all the time. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender, part three. Should get through it today. We'll see. What? Because the question is, why didn't God stop Satan during Epic 2? When he's in the Garden of Eden and he's about to seduce Eve and the race is going to go down the crapper because it was meant to be that way. I know God acts all surprised, like, oh, what have you done? And you did what? You listened to who? But he's playing the game. I'm telling you, it's a drama for the benefit of human beings, and God is coming across this way. It's a figure of speech, as you've heard me say many times, called anthropomorphia, when God takes on human characteristics. So, yeah, why didn't he grab him? Exactly. Why didn't he grab him then? Because he's God. Didn't he see what was going to happen? Yes, of course he did. He wanted it to happen. And there was planned from the beginning to have eight epics of Satan. And the only way you can have eight epics is if you let him go in Epic 2. Let him go. Relatively speaking, let him go. I say relatively speaking because ultimately God is causing all of this, but we speak relatively among ourselves. And God's letting him go because that's what he wants him to do. We left off with Satan going to and fro from the earth. This is his heyday. No, his real heyday is in the last 42 months of this eon. When he's cast down to heaven, he's in a rage. Bad stuff happens, if I can paraphrase the entire book of Revelation. In three words, bad stuff happens. And he's forming the religions. But then, I'm going to go ahead and give you the end of the story, end of the novel. You already know how this works out anyway. We're studying the details. In the future, then he will be confined to the abyss during 1,000 years. That's epic number 5. He's confined to the abyss. He's wrapped in a large chain. John is seeing this. It doesn't mean it's a literal chain, except, as you know, God is, he, just as what John sees, a literal chain. The chain is a figure of speech for something that's going to arrest him and bind him. He goes into the abyss, which is, I believe, under the ground. And we know that spiritual beings are hindered by darkness and by water. The submerged chaos is both dark and wet. What a surprise. Here's the forecast for the submerged chaos this week. 100% chance of darkness and 100% chance of water. There's your forecast for the submerged chaos for the next 1,000 years. That's a weatherman that has a short-lived job. I would not want to be a weatherman in the submerged chaos. It's one weather report, and it continues. You better make it good. That's your hour upon the stage, because after that, you will be seen no more. And the fact that 100% chance of darkness, 100% chance of wet. And the forecast never changes. But the question is also posed, if God can wrap him up so easily, again, that there doesn't appear to be a struggle. There's a struggle, I believe, as we're going to see in the heavens when Satan is cast down. There's a war. Not a war on earth, but in the heavens. But when Satan is apprehended after his frenzy, there's no struggle recorded. He's just bound for 1,000 years. Just like that. If it's so easy, why didn't they bind him in Eden? Exactly. Now, epic number 6. He's released for a short time at the end of the 1,000 years in order to deceive the nations again and lead them into battle against the holy city, which is, of course, none other than Jerusalem. Now, this seems incredible to people, and they scratch their heads and they, how can this be? Because It's the kingdom. Everything's perfect. No, it's not. I thought everything was perfect when I was a kid, but it's time for us to grow up. There's death. People live a lot longer. A man of 100 will be thought to be a youth. People will be living to ripe old ages that are commensurate with the ages lived back in the Garden of Eden days. How old was Adam? What, 800 something? 6, 7? Methuselah, 900 years? He almost got that millennial mark, but he fell short. I think he smoked too much. He only lived to 960 years or something. People are going to be living this way again. So many people won't die for the duration of the 1,000 years. Anyone who dies at age 100, it'd be like a youth. But it needs to be shown that even in ideal conditions, it's like there's one more lesson to be learned by humanity. And we'll be getting into details of this. And that is, even under ideal conditions of the kingdom, where we have a righteous king in Jerusalem, we have a priest along the order of Melchizedek, a new priest that does everything perfectly, and we have the curse removed from the earth so that everything flowers, fruit flourishes, we have ideal weather. Talk about another boring day for the weatherman. Try to be a weatherman in the kingdom. 100% chance of fair winds, puffy clouds, and blue skies. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So you don't want that job. Kind of like the Maytag repairman today. Doesn't get work. Maytags run forever. So he's let loose to deceive the nations for a short time, but this doesn't last long. Immediately crushed. It's like this is literally his last hurrah at the end of the 1,000 years. He's released. We can see what a great lesson he's learned by being in the abyss or the submerged chaos for 1,000 years. Hasn't learned anything. What's he doing down there? It's 1,000 years. You have a lot of time to read books. If the internet's available, you could be listening to this show. But what do? I don't know what's going on down there. Time must be so different to these spiritual beings than it is to us. 1,000 years, like, okay, here comes the release. And he's had 1,000 years to think about what he's... I want you to go to the corner and think about what you've done. Isn't that what mothers tell their kids? You go to the corner, Jimmy. You think about what you've done. Satan's in a submerged chaos. Nothing to do. Probably very bad internet connection. No cable. No satellite. You can't even get satellite a connection now going through a tunnel. So I doubt that in the submerged chaos, Satan's going to be able to entertain himself electronically. He's just going to be sit there and brood and think about what he's done. He's going to the corner. And after thinking about it for 1,000 years, he's still up. He's still game, man. He still wants to do it. He's still going to, I didn't deceive the nations the first time, but I bet if I go back again, I could do it this time. I just did one thing wrong. If I do that thing right, then I'm going to succeed. So he goes out, and the remarkable thing is he actually gets up an army. There are people living during the 1,000 years who've had it made. Perfect weather, perfect food, perfect rule, perfect government, perfect everything. And there's some in the four corners of the earth, so they're not near the holy city. They're on the outer circle of that kingdom, and they're still griping out there. It just shows you another facet of humanity, that people are still going to complain about something. And they're not just complaining like the bitch and run that I talked to you about. They're dripping like a faucet. Everything's complaining. It didn't go bad for me. Nothing's ever right for me. There was a little cloud up in the sky today. One little cloud. It covered the sun for an eighth of a second. It really upset me. I'm really upset at Christ and his little kingdom, his little precious little kingdom in Jerusalem. So somebody's always going to be pissed no matter what you do. And Satan finds these people because they don't like the discipline, right? God withholds rain from the nations if they don't come up to Jerusalem to observe the feast of whatever, tabernacles. So he gets up an army, but it's crushed. And he goes this time. He goes to the lake of fire. It's like, you didn't learn in the submerged chaos. Try this on for size. This begins epic number 7. He is cast into the lake of fire. Now, for Satan, the lake of fire is not the second death. A lot of people out there think they know more about the second death than I do. And it's always my duty to show them that they're wrong. Well, there's the beast's adversary and the false prophet being tormented alive in the lake of fire. So that means that any human being is tormented alive in the lake of fire. And of course, you know, I insist that the lake of fire is the second death. Death is non-existence. It's the opposite of life. Therefore, the second death is more of death. Do you know what the first death is? Some people don't know what that is. They think it's a spiritual death. First death. No, if you want to know what the first death is, go to a funeral home and stare at the main attraction at the funeral home. That's the first death. Do you know what? You want to know what the second death is? More of it. That's what the second death is. So Satan, the second death is not called the second death, as we're going to look into, until Revelation 20:14, when human beings are cast there. This is the lake of fire, the second death. It's not called that in verse 10 when Satan is there. The adversary is there. So he's going to be tormented somehow alive. Because obviously his little corner time in the submerged chaos didn't affect him. He came right back out, going to go at it again. But now the lake of fire is going to make an impression on him. For the eons of the eons. A part of the fourth eon and the remainder of the fifth eon. Then what? I'm going to read this from A.E. Knox's book, Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel. Satan's last and final state will be when all of God's creation are reconciled to him and the office of adversary and of Christ both become inoperative in the kingdom of the Father, and God is all in all. Colossians 1:20, 1 Corinthians 15:28. I don't know if you realized the epicness of what I just read. Therefore, I will read it again. Satan's last and final state will be when all of God's creation are reconciled to him, and the office of adversary and of Christ both become inoperative in the kingdom of the Father, and God is all in all. Go to Colossians 1:20, 1 Corinthians 15:28. Satan is destined to be reconciled to his creator, God. He's going to learn something in that lake of fire for the final eon, which could be 20,000 years. That's what it takes. And he's going to come out of there reconciled and at peace and understanding his role as adversary. And we know from 1 Corinthians 15, read the whole context from verses 22 through 28. Christ reigns until he puts all in submission under his feet. Christ is going to eventually give up his reign. Jesus Christ is not going to reign forever. It sounds like an insult when you first hear that. How can you say that about Christ? It would be an insult to say that he did reign forever, because reign presupposes that there are subjects, there are people you have to reign over, they just can't behave themselves. When God is all in all, Christ doesn't need to reign anymore. And so his role as king is over. Likewise, Satan's role as adversary is over. The need of an adversary and the need of a ruling Christ are temporary during the eons when we have this interplay of good and evil, and we're all learning by experience who we are and what God is and who Christ is. When that is over, and this is called the purpose of the eons, in Ephesians 2:2, I think it is. It's a purpose. It has a beginning and an end. When this purpose is complete, and God has revealed himself and his Christ through the help of an adversary, when that brings everybody back to God, with the help of that adversary, making them desperate, making them want God, then the role of the adversary retires, as well as the role of the Christ, that is to rule and to reign. Incredible truth. The opposition of Satan, it's a temporary role. This being, it's his temporary role. And when that role has been completed, he will be, with the rest of creation, reconciled to God.